I'd like to thank you all for being able to make it this evening. And in particular, I would like to thank our sponsors, Yocheved and Donna Liss. And Rina and Shion Carroll. I would also like to thank Rina Carroll for updating the list of departed. Once again, a special thank you for updating it so we can memorialize all our loved ones. Amen. I'd like to just share a brief idea about Zion Adar, as well as the significance of it for members of the Chevra Kedisha. So, on Sunday, I had a very interesting day. I would call it a day of contrasts. In the early afternoon, I went to my great-great-aunt's 105th birthday party. It was incredibly, incredibly special, very interesting just to see somebody that Kenai Nahara is 104. 104 years old. 104. And obviously she was not the youngest of people in the room, but she was still there, and she was still able to share ideas, memories, and share the simcha. And they sang, her family sang a song to her describing her life. The song, I think, was about 4 pages long. It took about 15 minutes to go through the whole thing. And it really tried to capture all the different elements of her life, and it really only scratched the surface. About 2 hours later, I went to a cemetery for an unveiling of another relative of mine who unfortunately passed away in her 50s. It was an unveiling. The tombstone had her name. It had the dates. It had the fact that she was a daughter, a wife, a mother. And it had a pasuk that we felt encapsulated her, her essence, and what she tried to pass on. It also turned out that they misspelled her name, which was also a very interesting situation to navigate. But aside from that, I was struck by the contrast of information that was shared in writing at those two events. At the birthday party, we had this really long, intricate song that really tried to capture everything and didn't. On the other hand, this matseva, this tombstone that we unveiled, we thought to try to encapsulate her entire life in one single pasuk. And it's a very interesting phenomenon. Why, when we try to describe somebody living, do we have paragraphs and pages? And yet on a tombstone, I don't know if dispense is the right word, but we suffice with a single pasuk or maybe a little acrostic. Another interesting observation about matzevos. Matzevos historically, as again, I'm not a historian, and perhaps Dr. Abramson can correct me, but as far as I understand, in the times of the Gemara, matzevos were not, I wouldn't say as big a deal, but were not as intricate. In fact, it was really a public service that was done in Eretz Yisrael to mark where graves are so that people would not become impure when they would walk through the roads or the fields. And so the matzevos and the kvarim that were set up in the field didn't have people's names and dates all that much. It was a stone, and it marked the boundary of where that person was. And yet over history, it's developed into an encapsulation and memorial for the person. One other observation, and I hope with this we can tie it together. Matseva in biblical Hebrew has a connotation of being a single stone, and that's what we do. When we have a tombstone, it's one big solid block. But then we have a custom of adding. Whenever we visit, we pay homage, we show respect, we try to add a stone. And so what happens is, if you come enough times and they don't clear them off, you have one big solid matseva, and then on top of that, you have little rocks, little, you know, pebbles almost, that build up and grow, almost like a mizbeach, which is composed of different stones. And so we seem to transition from a solid block, a matseva, to something that is differentiated and that is unique. And so I'd like to explain what I think that symbolizes. The Gemara tells us that Rav, who was the Gadol Hador of his generation, the greatest sage, so he had students. And when Rav passed away, they wanted to find a way to perpetuate his legacy. Now, I assume he did not have sufficient funds to create a non-for-profit foundation. And so instead, what his students, he had 10 great students, and they said, our Rebbe, our teacher, is too great to be able for each one of us to be a carbon copy of him, to carry all of his different character traits and share them with the world. And so instead, we'll each take one. That is true not only for a Rebbe, but it's true for every single person. There's a certain phenomenon that when a person is alive, we can't break them apart. But it's very difficult to try to emulate somebody that's alive and filled with so many different, sometimes conflicting sides. And when you relate to somebody that's alive, you have to see the whole, you have to interact with every single side of them. Some sides you like, some sides you don't like, and that's life. But something interesting happens when a person passes away. That long poem, that 5-page long poem of all those different sides, somehow, through the miraculous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that created the grieving process, the mourning process, and this concept of history, allows us to not throw away things, but be able to distill and compress a person into just one solid beam. And they can look at it with a bit of distance to be able to see the gestalt, the whole picture. And then comes the next step, which is perpetuating that legacy. And that's when we take that one pasuk from a tombstone and we say, okay, that's one pasuk, but what does that pasuk mean to me? What does that character trait mean to me? And what you take out of it might be different than what you take out of it or what I take out of it. And they're all different sides of that Rav or of that loved one that we seek to carry forward. Who makes that transition possible? I would say it's the Chevra Kadisha. I know it sounds cheesy, but all of you who participate and support the Chevra Kadisha are playing an incredible role, not just of emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of doing chesed with somebody that is unable to repay you, a chesed shel emes, of taking care of the deceased, just like Hashem took care of Moshe Rabbeinu on Zion Adar. But beyond that, you are helping facilitate that transition between a very diverse, sometimes fractured, multifaceted life that people are incapable of relating to through history and through your care and concern of treating every single Jew and according them the same chesed, the same burial. You help them become part of history of the Jewish people and of these and of their families' history and of our community's history. You help that transition, transforming them from a huge, intricate poem to one pasuk, which then the living, just like those kvarim during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, were public service. They weren't to only memorialize the dead. It was to help the living continue to lead a Jewish life, to be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash in purity. You help them be able to take from their loved one the characteristics that each person can relate to and carry that forward to build the Jewish family and to build the Jewish community. So I want to thank you all for your support and your work on behalf of the community. It is an incredible chesed that you do. And Emir Tzashem, as Donald said, we hope this list that we will read does not grow. This list of departed does not grow. But I want to thank you all that you should, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you all with the strength to continue to do all the work that you do for the Chevra Kadisha, as well as for the community in general. So that is my bracha to you, and I want to thank you all for coming. At this point, we will continue with with the reading of the names on the list of the departed, followed by Kalmale. So at this point, I would like to call up Jonathan Strauss to read the names.